no sense.
This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show, 60 minutes of old-time radio drama brought to you every Tuesday by RelicRadio.com. Our first story this week comes from Escape. We'll hear the April 22nd, 1953 episode titled The Derelict. After that, it's The Key, a 93-year-old man, an episode from them that first aired in 1956.
Tired of the everyday grind? Ever dream of a life of romantic adventure? Want to get away from it all? We offer you Escape.
Escape, transcribed to free you from the four walls of today for a half hour of high adventure.
You are aboard a dead ship, drifting aimlessly in the endless reaches of the Indian Ocean, while the three men who are your companions, unaware of your innermost thoughts, are making their own plans for the division of treasure, which, because you are a woman, can mean life or death for you all.
Listen now as Escape brings you Larry Roman's unusual story, The Derelict.
I'm rich now. Good looking, too. A lot of guys have said so. 29, and that's on the square. Dark eyes, dark hair, and I've been a dancer all my life, so you can figure out for yourself how I'm built. I'm not telling you this out of conceit or anything. I just want you to know what you'd have if you had me. And you can have me, any one of you. All you gotta do is come out and get me. A couple of weeks ago, I climbed aboard the freighter Capricorn out of Singapore for Suez with a load of porcelain and six passengers. I had a job waiting for me in Cairo, but I took a ship instead of a plane. One, for the dough. Two, because I was in no hurry to start working. The honest truth was, my feet were giving me fits. 4 days out in the Indian Ocean, a monsoon started up and the Capricorn just busted to pieces on the reefs. I don't know how long I floated around, hanging onto some wood, till they hauled me into a lifeboat.
All right now, easy with her.
Gently, gently, do not bruise her on the side. Very good.
Clear off that canvas, Louis, set her down.
I'm all right.
Certainly you are.
Here, throw this jacket around you.
I'm okay. No kidding.
The jacket.
Thanks.
And clamp your legs under the seat. Everyone all right?
Everything all right here, Mr. Mike.
Okay, we're just going to have to ride her out.
You all right?
Sure.
You're not sick anymore?
All done. Kind of silly, wasn't it? Like a kid.
No, not so silly.
May I do something for you, my dear?
No, thanks. I'm really okay.
Keatman. Henry Van Keatman's my name. It was my cargo of porcelain on the ship.
I'm Mark Bowman.
Cora Moore. Hello.
This is Lou Wah, or is it Wah Lu?
My name is Lou Wah.
Chinese, part of the crew. Well, some predicament, huh? Others all drown, I suppose.
Or adrift, like us?
No drown, I think. We were the lucky ones. Some are, some aren't. Well, spirits up, everybody. Look, we have water for a few days, so that is fine.
Sure.
Well, people do not get lost at sea these days, not with airplanes and so much ocean travel.
All right. We'll set up watches and take turns trying to catch fish.
Fish? Who can think of food now?
There's always later. You take the first watch, Keatman. Lou Wah and I will...
Are you setting yourself up as captain, Mike?
I hadn't thought of it that way.
I want to be captain. I have always wanted to run a ship.
Well, I don't care who's captain, but someone's got to watch and someone's got to fish.
Very well. We all got jobs to do. Lau, you fish. Mike will watch. I shall tend to the water, portion out the proper amounts, and Cora, my dear, you shall sit there and be womanly.
The water sits in the middle so everyone can see it. Cora helps out like everyone else.
Well, sure, Mike. Just tell me what you want.
Settled, Mr. Keatman?
Settled, Captain Borman.
I got a long look at them. Keatman, big around the middle and chest, white, shiny face, powerful arms. Mike, middle size, not bad looking, with clear blue eyes. Kind of girl ought to have. Lou Wah, small, good at catching fish. So there we were, three men and me in a tub, bobbing around the Indian Ocean, drifting. Then on the afternoon of the second day...
Oh, look it! Look it! You see! A ship!
Coming right for us, Mike. Look at it.
I told you it would be found. Hello!
Save your breath. It's miles off.
Oh, we rowed to it. The oars. Walu, the oars. Mike, the oars. Quickly now. Come on. Forward!
It was dusk by the time we got aboard. She was a three-masted sailing ship. All her lifeboats were gone and junk was all over her deck. Seaweed and ocean stuff, so you knew she'd been under once. An old barkentine, Mike said. A ghost ship. Her deck cabins were caved in and she stank from rot. We looked her over. Then down in the captain's quarters we saw it. First, a couple of human skeletons in a pile of junk that was once clothes. Then a metal box, near the skeletons, open. And in it were bricks of greenish-yellow stuff. Mike knew right off what it was.
Gold.
Gold? Impossible, it cannot be.
That's gold, all right. I've seen gold before.
Well, sure it is.
God, it is. Oh, feel it. Hold on. 20-30 pounds of brick. Why, that's a fortune.
No kidding? How much?
I don't know, but a fortune, easily, a great amount.
Easily. Shut the box, Keatman.
The salvage laws, it's ours.
If we bring it in.
We will.
We've got another problem first.
But I tell you, you do not get lost at sea these days. This is 1953. You do not get lost at sea in 1953.
No. Shut the box. It won't swim off.
What? Shut it! Who are you to tell me what to do?
Oh, stop it, you two. Squabble, squabble like a couple of chorus girls.
Sorry. I apologize.
All right. Now let's check the galley. We ought to figure out a way to start a fire.
What about the skeletons?
Well, what about them?
Well, you should get them overboard. I do not like to share the ship with them.
You do what you want.
You throw them overboard, Mike. I wouldn't care to touch them.
Other things come first.
That is right. And before we do anything, don't you think we should have an understanding?
About what?
The gold.
What's there to understand? There are four of us. We bring it in, it's split four ways.
Four ways, yeah. Then I have a right. Now you go to the galley, Mike. I will stay here. I want to count the gold.
All right. Come on, Cora.
No, I'll stay down here if you don't mind. I'd like to know how much there is, too. Honest to Pete, I don't know why I said it. I wasn't thinking it. It just came out. Well, it rained that night, and we collected a lot of clean, fresh water. Next day it was real sunny and warm. We cleaned the ship up a bit. All of a sudden I got the feeling how funny things were. Adrift at sea on a ghost ship. But we had food, water, sun. At times it was almost like a pleasure cruise.
Good morning.
Morning.
Sleep well?
Not too good. Of course, the place you fixed up for me was real nice, but... Well, I kept thinking about things. Cora Moore from San Diego with a jackpot. You know, you don't seem too happy about it.
First problem's first.
We'll get found. Keatman's right. You don't get lost at sea these days. Ship is bound to cross us. Isn't it?
Sure.
So then we'll all be rich and happy. You still don't feel good about it.
I remember once when I was a kid. I reached for a pot in a dice game with my winnings. It was fair. I got the back of my hand ripped open with a knife. I never got the winnings.
I see. Counting your chickens.
That's it.
Everybody does that. Look at me. I was going to be a ballet dancer. I was a ballet dancer. In my mind, I mean. Pirouettes and all that. Who knew I was going to end up a fan dancer?
Well, that's not so bad.
No? Oh, well. What are you going to do with your share of the gold? I mean, if we bring it in.
Go back to Australia, get a ranch, sheep.
Sounds like work. You won't have to work. You'll have enough.
I don't mind.
Good morning!
Morning.
Hi.
Fine this morning. Where's Walu?
Lou Wah is making breakfast.
This morning I would like fish for breakfast. Have him make fish. I feel good. I slept well. I always knew the rich slept well, no matter what they try to tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, I see the skeletons are gone, Mike.
I tossed them overside last night.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
Lou Wah found a barrel of nails. We're going to board up some cabin holes after we eat. You'll help?
Certainly.
I'll see you later, Cora.
Surly fellow. Well, you look lovely this morning, my dear. A fresh look. The sea air, yeah. You are a beautiful girl.
Sure. I'll get better looking to you the longer we're at sea.
Cora, my dear, I have been doing some calculations in regard to our wealth. If the bars weigh 20 pounds apiece, and since there are 100 of them, we have 20 by 12 by 100 by 35, the value of gold per ounce. In dollars, 840,000.
Buy a lot of meat and potatoes.
Filet mignon, pheasant, pompano, almondine.
What's that?
Something very delicious. Now, suppose the bar weighs 25 pounds. $1 million.
$1 million?
If the gold is sold at Macau, where the market is free, say, $50 an ounce, 1,500,000.
Oh, it keeps getting bigger.
Matter of multiplication. Multiplication is a wonderful thing. It makes everything grow. Division, however, is not so wonderful.
What do you mean?
Well, take a large, satisfactory number and divide, say, by 4. What are you left with? A small, unsatisfactory number. Do you follow me?
No.
Mull it to yourself, my dear. I'm sure it will come to you.
Sure, I knew what he was getting at, but I wasn't letting on. Sometimes it pays to play dumb. Well, the day went on as usual, our ship drifting and us not seeing anything but the water and sky. And then that night, laying in my bunk, suddenly began to think of something. I don't know why, but there I was all of a sudden thinking about Keatman and those ideas of his on multiplication and division. It just jolted me out of my bed. I ran out on deck. Mike came from one way, Keatman from the other, and we met at the railing.
Lua! Lua, where are you?
No need to shout more. Look.
A few feet from us, the railing was all ripped away. We knew right off. Lu Wa was overboard. We could see the fin of a great shark cut the dark water and disappear.
We will return to Escape in just a moment, but first...
You should not have leaned against the railing. The wood is rotten.
What makes you think he leaned?
The ship's tossing, then. It threw him against the side?
Lu Wa was a sailor. It's a calm sea. He could keep his feet in this ocean.
I don't understand you, Mike. How else could they have gone overboard?
There are ways.
I can't imagine.
Look, do we have to stand around talking about it?
Oh, of course not, my dear. Accidents do happen. There's no point.
Keatman, you watch your step.
Oh, what could you mean by that, Mike?
Just watch your step, that's all. I don't know what happened to Lu Wa, but you just watch your step.
As you say, Captain Borman.
Come on, Coy. I'll walk you back to your cabin.
Mike walked me back. I had my chance to do some talking, to tell him about the conversation I'd had with Keatman. I should have told Mike. I know it. But somehow the words just wouldn't come out. I don't know why. Mike left me. I asked him to, and I tried to get some sleep. No luck. I kept thinking about poor Lu Wa and also something else. I don't really know why I thought about it, but the fact is I did. Without me doing anything, I just got richer.
Cora?
Hmm?
Are you asleep? May I come in?
Well, I...
Just for a few moments, my dear. I want to talk to you.
All right. Just a sec. It's real late.
Oh, just a little while. The thing is, I do not get to see you enough alone. Oh, Cora.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, it's all right. Mike is asleep. He will not hear.
Hands off, mister. That's all.
Oh, have I made a mistake? I thought you had some feeling for me.
Well, it's just that... Hey, you sure rush a girl.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Why don't you go now, Keatman?
Oh, no, Henry.
Why don't you go, Henry? I feel kind of upset tonight. You know what I mean. Lu Wa and everything.
Yeah, all right, my dear.
You're not mad?
Oh, no, no.
There'll be other times.
Oh, yes, of course, other times. Cora...
Hmm?
When we are safe on land and rich, we will go someplace, you and I. Italy, perhaps, or the south of France. Cora, 1.5 million divided by 3 is a large number. That should mean a lot to you.
Yeah, I have to admit. I've been thinking about it.
1.5 million divided by 2 should mean even more.
Morning, I found Mike at the ship's bow, looking out at the sea. I remember saying to myself, he looked kind of good to me. Funny how a guy can look one way to you at one time, then at another look so very different.
Oh, hello.
What do you see?
The usual. Nothing.
Oh, it's not so bad. Still got fish and water. It's only the third day. Guys were adrift during the war for weeks. They got saved.
Sure.
They had it worse than us. Mind if I sit here with you?
No, of course not. You seen Keatman?
Uh-uh.
Below, I guess, counting.
Yeah. He sure has gone off on that gold. You know, I've been thinking.
About what?
Those skeletons we found. You wonder who they are? Who they were?
Mm-hmm. A little.
You think they were part of the crew or come on later like us?
Why, it looks to me like the whole crew abandoned ship. No, I'd say those two came on later. That's after the ship came up from the bottom.
And they found the gold, huh? Just like us?
Uh-huh.
Wondered what happened then. It sure smells good up here.
Hmm.
It's about the only place aboard you don't smell the ship's rot. Maybe I should have been a sailor instead of a dancer. A lot of good outdoors.
Ranching gets you outside, too.
Yeah. Bet Australia's just loaded down with fresh air. What about sheep, huh?
Now what about them?
They smell?
Sheep aren't so bad.
Maybe I ought to use my share of the gold to buy a ranch next to yours. We could be neighbors and get together to talk about hard times. All this, I mean.
Cora.
Hmm?
Cora, I don't know. I can't quite tell whether it's because of the mess we're in or... Well, I suppose it might be different on land when we're safe, but...
What are you trying to say, Mike?
Oh, nothing. You forget it, Cora.
Sure. All right. Mike.
Hmm?
Keatman came into my cabin last night.
He did?
I thought there was going to be trouble.
When I let Cora...
No, it's all right. The only thing is... Well, I think you better watch yourself.
What do you mean?
Well, it's what he said to me. He said him and me could split the gold in two.
Yeah.
I just thought I ought to tell you.
Thanks.
There's a knife in the galley. I don't want to suggest anything, but... Nobody's going to blame you if you moved first. I don't know why I said it the way I said it. I didn't mean to say it that way. It just sort of came out. Funny how you do things sometimes. For no real reason, I mean. Well, the third day went by and we just kept drifting and drifting. Nothing to look at but ocean and sky. Then toward late afternoon we saw something. Just a speck in the sky, but then it came closer and closer. A plane. One of those big four-engine passenger jobs.
Hey! Hey, down here! Down here! Hey!
Keatman waved his shirt and screamed to beat the band. The plane saw us, dipped its wings, and then took off again. We knew it would send a ship and that we'd soon be saved. That night in the galley, we sat down for what we hoped would be our last meal on the derelict.
Fish. Have some delicious fish.
Thank you. I don't want any more.
Cora?
I don't feel much like eating.
Water, then. Have a big drink of water.
No, I don't want any.
Watch out. You're spilling it.
Oh, who needs it anymore? I told you we'd be found. This is 1953. The ship will come to us tomorrow, I bet.
All right. And we'll celebrate tomorrow. You put the water down. We've still got tonight.
Tonight? Yeah. Tonight.
Keatman shut up then, and a few minutes later left the galley. Then Mike went out too. That's when I noticed that the galley knife wasn't there anymore. The sea got kind of choppy that night, and I was sure restless. Wind started acting up, began to rain. Looked like a storm was building. Then I heard the scream. I ran out along the wet deck and stood outside the hold, looking down into the blackness. I couldn't see, but I knew what it was. Mike and Keatman. And only one was going to come up. Only one. Henry.
I got the knife in him before he knew what happened.
Mike.
Done. We divide by two, my love, by two, as it should be.
I gotta get into my cabin. I'm getting all wet.
Oh, wait. Hey, Cora.
Yeah?
The ship will come to us today, to us, to you and me. The million and a half is ours.
I know, Henry.
South of France, or would you rather Italy?
Whatever you want, Henry.
Anything?
Yeah.
Oh, Cora. Cora, my love.
Oh!
Oh, Cora! Cora!
I don't know why I did it. Honest to Pete, I wasn't thinking about it. I just did it all of a sudden. I gave him a shove and he went right over the side. I could see him in water just for a second. His face whiter than ever and his eyes bugging out. And then he was gone. The storm lasted for days. 3, 4. I don't remember now. And it tossed the ship I don't know how many which ways. Then the sky cleared up. Sun got all warm again. Been this way a couple of days now. Well, I haven't seen the rescue ship. Water's gone. Fish, too. And I'm alone. But like I say, I'm rich. I'm still good-looking. Any of you can have me, me and gold. All you gotta do is come out and get me. But please, please come quick.
Under the direction of Anthony Ellis, Escape has brought you The Derelict, adapted by Larry Roman from a story by Victor Schwartz and starring Charlotte Lawrence as Cora. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns as Keatman, Ben Wright as Mike, and Charlie Long as Lou Waugh. The special music for Escape is composed and conducted by Leith Stevens. Next week.
You are standing guard deep in the forests of Africa, while around you, closing in on you, are the dreaded Mau Mau, who, if you relax your guard, will kill you.
So listen next week when Escape brings you John Daner's terrifying story, Lily and the Colonel. This coming Tuesday night, mystery fans will want to stop, listen, and thrill to Mr. and Mrs. North Looking for Trouble on CBS Radio. And to John Lund as yours truly, Johnny Dollar, probing the San Antonio matter. The Norths collide with homicide and come close to grief themselves. Johnny Dollar comes close to falling in love, closer still to trouble in San Antone. Remember, they're both this coming Tuesday night on most of these same CBS radio stations. Mr. and Mrs. North, and yours truly, Johnny Dollar. Don't miss them. This is Roy Rowan speaking. And remember, you're invited to Art Linkletter's house party every weekday on the CBS Radio Network.
Every door has a key. There's a key to every situation. Behind every unopened door, there is a mystery. And the opening of this door introduces us to another in the series, The Key.
Really, Mr. Davenport, I don't think you should play with that toy. Read a nice book instead.
Toys are meant to play with. I made a fortune because I wasn't allowed toys. Now I'm retired and I can play with toys if I want.
Yes, Mr. Davenport, but remember your blood pressure. It goes up when you get excited.
Avril, as a nurse, you're wonderful. As a human being, you haven't got a clue. More of that ghastly medicine.
It's good for you.
I don't want to be done goodbye. I want to be bad.
Well, you are. For a boy of 93, you're a sort of monument to badness. I never knew old men could be so willful.
I'm not taking my medicine.
Oh, yes, you are. If you don't, we won't allow you to see your daughter this afternoon. There now.
Blackmailer. She is coming? What time is she coming?
About 4. Open your mouth wide.
93 and still have to take my medicine. I tell you, I'm choking. I can't breathe.
You can still talk. Now, lunch will be ready in half an hour. And don't forget to take your pills. And if you spit that medicine out, I'll be cross.
Cross. Give her the sack. Pills? Keep them. And if I want to play, I shall. I'll do anything. Oh, she's taking the key, the cunning old baggage. She's taking the key so I can't wind it up.
I took it away from him, Miss Davenport. Your father's an old, ill man, and it gets him all het up. Besides that, he crouches, and that's not good.
Oh, well, I'll hop in and see him. I didn't want to come, but I suppose he's lonely. I hope when I'm old, I'm not a nuisance to anybody. Has he been in to see him?
He only gets excited. He seems to like her, but doesn't want to see her.
Keep her away if you can. Everybody knows she only asked for his money. She married him for it in the first place.
Yes, Miss Davenport. Well, he's expecting you. Would you like to come in now?
Really, I don't know how you nurses stand it. You really should be in a home.
When you're rich, you can do lots of things other people can't. Money talks, as they say. Here's Miss Davenport to see you, Mr. Davenport.
Eh?
I'll leave you alone. Don't get him too excited.
Hey, who's that?
Me, Father. Well, how are you? I have a lot of things to do, so I can't stay long.
Daughter, hello, daughter. Nice to see you again.
Oh, what a day. The Priestleys are coming tonight, and I simply had to go and see Muriel. Oh, she's expecting a baby, you know, and it's such a nuisance having to put up with all that talk about baby things. You know, I told her she'll drive all her friends away.
That nurse took away the thing I...
So I'll just stop a minute. The nurse was telling me that Vera hasn't been to see you.
Huh? Oh, no. She took away the key. The key I used to wind the car up with.
You don't need it. I do think Vera might come and see you. After all, I go out of my way, and I've got far more to do than she has. I often wonder if you hadn't any money, Father, who'd be your friend?
I'm old, and I don't see why I shouldn't have a toy. It's a key. A key you used to wind
up. He only married you for your money. The nurse said so, too, so it's not jealousy on my side. I think perhaps it'd be better if you didn't see her at all. She married you, but I'm your daughter, so I know far better.
Better? Oh, if you could get me that key.
When poor mother died, I remember her saying, no, I was only a child at the time.
I want that key. The woman who gets me that key won't miss out.
That anybody who married you afterwards would be... Yes? I'll get what, Father?
You will. You'll get money. I'm not making any promises, but if I have that key, I'll see you don't want.
Father, it doesn't make any difference to me if you leave me any money or not. You know that. I'm perfectly happy as I am. Of course, I suppose it'll be different with Vera. Vera has...
I married Vera. She's been good to me. She didn't help me to make any money, but she didn't have to. Your mother had done that.
Mother had given...
Your mother was a good, honest woman. And a woman who's that is a woman. You don't have to tell me.
Now, really, Father, I was speaking. There's no need to interrupt. I was saying, Mother had
You're
given...
You're her daughter. Now leave it.
Yes, Father.
Vera had her own troubles. Vera had to live up to your mother.
I was only saying Vera could come and see you more often if she wanted to. She knows you've left everything to her, so she doesn't bother.
How does she know? How?
Well, haven't you?
I want the key of this motor. I want to see it run. It's a good toy, and I want to see how it goes.
Father, you're 93. It's too absurd to want to play with toys at your age.
Play? Play? Sure I want to play. Never played before. Too busy making money. I've made it. Now I want to play. Who's to stop me?
Nobody, if you want to.
Besides, it's not altogether play. This toy was made in 1926. 1926 was an important year.
Yes, Father.
1926 was when she died.
Mother died in 23, Father.
She didn't.
She did, Father. I was 6 and she died in 23.
I'm not talking about your mother. Sally died in 26.
Oh, I'm not interested in your past girlfriend.
Girlfriend? Yes, she was a girlfriend. Pretty.
Now, Father, Mother had enough trouble with you. I don't want to hear about
Sally the... was your sister.
Sister?
Stepsister, yes. Your stepsister. Vera's girl.
Vera?
I didn't know that, did you? Vera had a daughter, and she was 6, and she died, and that was in 1926.
Vera did? Really, Father, I'm sure
you... She played with this toy. I gave it to her. You didn't know about Sally because we wanted you to like Vera, and we thought if we kept you apart, it didn't matter. Sally died.
Father, do you know what you're saying? Vera has a daughter? You just don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, yes, I do. I'm not senile. Not yet. Vera was married before she married me. She was divorced, and she had a daughter, and that was Sally. And Sally died. I'm sure of that. And I want the key so I can wind up the car that killed her.
I've never heard such nonsense. Killed her? What on earth are you talking about?
A car can kill. A toy car can kill as easy as a real one. You were all right. I liked you. You were all right.
Father, you don't know what you're saying. And I really haven't time to listen to nonsense. I'll tell the nurse I'm going.
Oh, one minute, Dorothy. I'm a poor old man, and all I want is the key to wind this toy. If you get it, I promise you, you won't be forgotten.
But, Father,
Better than that, I'll give you all I've got. I'll have my will altered, right away. And you'll get it all. Every penny.
All right, Father, if that's what you want. Oh, I'm going now. I'll look in next week.
Don't forget the key.
I'll see. Oh, hello, nurse. I was coming in. I thought you might be going.
I am.
One moment, nurse. I want to talk to you.
Yes, Mr. Davenport.
Give him the key to his clockwork toy, nurse. It can't do him as much harm as not having it.
Yes, Mr. Davenport.
He seems a little upset. You think he's all right? I mean... He's not getting so old.
I hear you. You're talking about me.
All right, Father. I'm going now. To see if he gets that key. I'll drop in next week. All right, Miss Davenport.
What were you talking about? What plot is that daughter of mine hatching now?
Nothing, Mr. Davenport. Talking, that's all.
Where's my key?
Key? Oh, the key of your toy. She said you weren't to have it, Mr. Davenport.
Jezebel. Delilah. Not one of my family, not one of them can you trust? Both after my money, you know. Both her and Vera, everybody.
Oh, well, I don't know about everybody, Mr. Davenport. I'm not.
You aren't? Must be crazy. $2 or $3 million and you don't want it?
Money doesn't mean anything to me.
Doesn't? I could leave it all to you. I could call my lawyer and have my will altered. I could say my nurse is to have it all. I could and I would. If you gave me the key so I could wind this toy.
You don't have to bribe me.
You'll get it for me without having to leave you any money?
Well, if you want to, I wouldn't want to stop you, now would I? That'd be silly, wouldn't it?
Everybody goes silly when there's money in it. And women go silliest of all. You get me that key and we'll see.
You're not supposed to have it. If I got it for you, you'd...
Come on. All my money. A fortune. I'll cancel the old will and give it all to you. I promise.
But don't tell anybody. They mightn't understand. And it would be better, wouldn't it, if you didn't say anything about this, about your will being altered. They might try to stop you if they knew. Here you are.
Thank you. No, we won't say a word. We'll surprise them. They'll get a shock when they find out. Oh, dear, but I won't be here to laugh, will I? Never mind, I've got me toy. Stay and watch it run. It's a good toy. It's a splendid toy.
Mr. Davenport.
I'll do it again. I'll show you.
Mr. Davenport, remember your promise. I don't mind about your money, but a promise is a promise. It's the principle of the thing.
My will? Oh, yes, my will. I'll live to be 100. There's plenty of time yet. Now watch. I'll make it run round in circles.
Mr. Davenport, you made a promise. I'm going to send for your lawyer.
Change my mind. Change it. Won't leave my money to any of you. I'll leave it to a cat. You, Dorothy, and Vera. Now I'll show you.
Mr. Davenport, it mightn't mean much to you, but it does to me. You made a promise. You want to go to heaven, don't you?
No, I want to stay here. Angels are playing harps. If you see me playing harps, I'll stay down here and play with the toy.
You'll stay just as long as I want you to. You're an old, sick man, and when you do die, there won't be many questions asked. I look after you. I've slaved 5 years at your beck and call. You're disgusting and addle-headed. Here and now in this very room, if you don't carry out your promise, I'll kill you.
Nurse, I'm an old man. I've lived my life. But a man remembers. It's stored away. I'm old, but I'm not so old that threats have ceased to make me mad. In my day, I've killed people.
I haven't, but I'm willing. Especially when it's an old man with one foot in the grave anyhow.
No, nurse, you're not the type. Though I guess you must be pretty desperate.
So now I suppose I get the...
No. I think I'll raise your wages. What is it? Love?
Lack of it. In a desert once, I saw a dead tree. No leaves, no sap. Against the blazing sky. You're old. One minute you're young and the next you're old. Then you look around. Everybody else is married, but not you. Oh, no. So I thought money would be nice. You're right. If I tread on an ant, it worries me.
You don't look old.
I'm nearly 40.
When I was 80, my wife Vera divorced me. Nobody seemed to think I was too old. Certainly not the other woman.
It's different for the man.
Is it? The other woman was a fascinating creature. I gave her a diamond necklace. Just 57 stones, one for each birthday. I rather caught her out. She'd lied about her age. If she'd been honest, she'd have had 63 stones. Saved me a few thousand dollars. Now, would you like to see this toy go in circles? Always seems to be something in the way.
Mr. Davenport, that toy, I hear... Well, I might as well be honest. I heard you say that that toy killed somebody. A girl called Sally.
Huh? Killed her? Yes, it killed her. Sally was Vera's child. I bought her this toy. I'd have it repaired over and over again. We were playing with it in the passage in the old house. I wound it up, set it off. It went over the top of the stairs. I tried to stop Sally. It was a mistake. She was half running away from me, half chasing after the toy. Anyway, by the time I got to her at the bottom of the stairs, she was dead. I'll always remember. She tripped at the top, and it was almost as if she dived off. That's an old tale and best forgotten.
I'm sorry.
Don't tell my daughter, Dorothy. Vera and I, we thought it better to keep Sally and her apart. Remarrying, children often get jealous, you know.
Nurse! Are you here, nurse? Here, Miss Vera. I came in to see how Mr. Davenport... Hello, Teddy, you old reprobate. Planning how he can live for another 50 years.
For plague, you, my dear, of course. How are you, Vera?
Getting older faster than you ever did, Teddy.
You're an attractive piece, Vera. You know why I ever let you divorce me?
I divorced you, darling, for your alimony. Now, don't tell Nurse, she mightn't approve.
I don't know, she might. Money and love are important emotions. Most high powered in the whole world.
You ought to know. Teddy, you've got a sparkle in your eyes. What have you been up to?
Oh, 93, my dear, you can't get up to much. I spend the evening of my days playing with the toy.
That toy? You remember when...
Oh, I'm back again. The priests are coming tomorrow night, so I thought I'd come... Oh, why, Vera, fancy you being here.
Fancy. And fancy you coming back, Dorothy. It couldn't have been anything to do with my being here, could it?
Of course not. If I'd known, I wouldn't have. I know how you like it. Fear feels.
My dear, feels are for cows. And that's what...
If you females are going to make a battleground out of it, I'm going next door.
Don't worry, dear. We'll control ourselves. Now, you sit down and forget we're even here. There now.
Women. As a man gets older, he realizes the only mistakes he made were females. And they come home to roost all around his feet.
All right, nurse. Mr. Davenport will be all right with us.
Just a moment. I want nurse to stay. She's as murderous as you two are, but she's honest about it. Stay, nurse.
Yes, Mr. Davenport.
Now we're about it, I think it's time one or two things were discussed. Sally, for instance, Vera.
Sally?
I'm old. Things weigh heavy on an old man. Things of the past.
I think the past can look after itself.
Past? Past is the present. It can make me feel bad right now, so it may be past, but it's still with me.
Sally, all the girl you were telling me about, Father, Vera's child. What were you going to say about her?
Nothing. He wasn't going to say anything. Were you, Teddy?
No. And yes, I am. I'm going to say it because I'm old and it's been on my mind a long time. Sally didn't fall over the stairs altogether by herself. And not that I pushed her, I didn't. It's like, well, you know when you've got to avoid something, practically always you don't. But if you've got not to avoid it, you do.
Really, Teddy, you're getting involved.
Let him go on, Vera. These confessions are always so fascinating.
Sally was Vera's child by a previous marriage. Dorothy was mine, and a man's only child is precious to him. I wasn't actually thinking it, but it was there. When the toy ran straight down the passage and over the stairs, I don't really know to this day whether it went over by accident or design.
What are you saying, Father? I think it's time for Mr. Davenport to have his wish. He's been up a long time. Teddy!
It's always been on my mind. That's why I play with her, sir. Always that thought. Did I direct it towards the stairs, knowing it would probably... You see, I didn't like Sally, not over much. I didn't want her to have all the things I felt Dorothy should have. Besides, Dorothy reminded me of her mother. And there was a question of the money, too. When I died, I wanted Dorothy to have it, not Sally.
What is all this? I don't understand. So that's why. Why, you said you'd leave it all to me. Teddy, all these years you've had a guilty conscience. So guilty you actually leave it to me because you felt you might have caused Sally's death. Well, I'm not going to say any more. I'm not such a fool. I don't think a fortune isn't worth having, even if it is sort of blood money.
Yes, well, I've been thinking a lot about it, Vera. A man never really finds out what a woman is like, what her real nature is. I'm leaving a fortune, and I don't intend leaving it to a woman who'd do anything to get it. If she did, she'd do anything with it afterwards. Vera, I told you about Sally, and you reacted badly. I'm not leaving you a penny.
My dear Teddy, you are. I, too, have been wondering about Sally all these years. You might know it, but you were very nearly arrested. And because circumstances circumstances seem to point to the fact that you might have done it. Now, I know you did. You said so. You confessed. The nurse and Dorothy heard.
Nothing is as greedy as a ruthless woman. Nor as stupid. I didn't know about you, Vera. Now I do. It was, as a matter of fact, the nurse who showed me. It's a shock for a man to realize a woman will murder for money when the money's big enough. Nurse showed me. I thought, nurse, what about Vera and Dorothy? Yeah, you've certainly shown me, Vera. You're ruthless. Now, watch. Yeah, the car goes in circles. If you look, you'll find the wheels are fixed.
Fixed? You're leaving your money to me, Teddy. You as good as murdered, Sally.
More circles, Vera. Small, round and round. Yes, you see, it couldn't have run down the passage. A small trap, Vera, but enough to tell me all I want. Goodbye.
All right. But you haven't heard the last about this. Mr. Davenport, it's time...
In a moment, nurse. Seems there's only you and Dorothy. Funny thing, I know you're a snob and a chatterer and probably quite incapable of handling money, large money, but you are my daughter and you've been kind to me after your way. Besides, you're so very like your mother. And you've been kind even while you thought not you, but Vera was going to get it.
Well, Father, all I can say is...
Don't, child. A chatterer like a mouse in cheese digs a hole which can trap it. Be thankful you're going to get the money and shut up. And now I'm going to rest. All right, nurse.
Father, I must say how unexpected...
Shut up. That's all right, nurse. As a matter of fact, I arranged for you to be looked after years ago. Not large, but enough to be comfortable. So you'll not only be fair, fat, and 40, but comfortable as well. And there'll be a deal of men after you, seeing men like comfort, too.
After all that's happened?
No woman, when a fortune is concerned, is uninterested. Vera wasn't. I never quite knew about that woman. Now I do. And Dorothy, though a fool, is honest in her way. Oh, dear, now look what's happened. Last bump damaged the toy again. Take it around to Mr. Meeker's and have it repaired.
Yes, Mr. Davenport.
I'll be glad to rest, very glad indeed. I never quite knew how to keep Vera quiet and yet change my will, but everything's all right now.
Good afternoon. I'm Mr. Davenport's nurse, Mr. Meeker's. He asked me to bring this toy motor around for you to repair again.
Oh, yes. He brought it in some time ago. Wonder to me how an old toy like this has lasted so long.
You could say the same about Mr. Davenport. Did he damage it much?
Damage? Just a cog slip. Does he want the wheels fixed?
Wheels?
The front wheels. The last time he brought it in, he wanted it fixed so it would only run round in circles. What's the matter? You don't want to worry, nurse. I'll have this running right as rain in no time. Good afternoon to you.
A closing door finishes the story. Next week, another key will open another door to another story. Mystery. Romance. Or adventure. All start when a door is unlocked by... the key.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. Go to RelicRadio.com for more from Escape the Key, past episodes of the Relic Radio Show. All the other Relic Radio podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and anything else that might be there. You can support this and all of the shows by visiting donate.relicradio.com or just clicking on the link on the website. Your support makes all of this possible. Thanks to those who have helped out, and thanks for joining me today. Be back next Tuesday with another hour of the Relic Radio Show.